Rick Stevens, financial advisor with FRS Financial Group. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA SIPC. The opinions voiced in this program are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be suitable for you, consult the appropriate qualified professional prior to making a decision. For more detailed information regarding any of the topics discussed on today's show, please call 719-500-8700. This is Money Matters, presented by FRS Financial. Here's your host, Rick Stevens.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of Money Matters, presented by FRS Financial Group. This is your host, Rick Stevens, and remember that this is your show. If you've got questions that you would like to have answered, if you've got a particular topic you want to hear some more information about, simply give us a call at 719-500-8700. Leave me a voicemail there. You can also reach out through the wonderful world of technology and that World Wide Web, FRSFinancialGroup.com. You can go to that contact tab. You can send us that message about what you would like to hear more about, or you can always just shoot me an email, rstevens@frsfinancialgroup.com. We would love to hear what you want to hear more about. Well, folks, this week on Money Matters, I am joined, as always, in studio by my lovely co-host, Andrew Rogers. Andrew, how are we doing today?
Doing fantastic. How are you doing, Rick?
You know what? It's another day in the life.
Mm-hmm.
We've had, I think when I looked at our weather forecast last week, we had like 15 straight days with 100% chance of rain, but I haven't gotten nearly as much rain this week as we had about this time last week, which is good.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about anything, you know, floating down the driveway or the street. Whether that be, you know, things my children have left in the yard or quite frankly, even my children.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good time because I had to do a little bit of extra seeding for a couple spots on the lawn. So getting that really soaked in has helped out quite a bit.
And you know what? We actually had the Trail Life group that we're part of. We actually had a work day last weekend. And one of the things we were doing is we were actually taking down some split rail fencing.
Mm-hmm.
So that water really helped those posts come out very quickly and easily.
I know. See, there's some benefits to it. And again, as we always say, we need the moisture.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Well, folks, this week on Money Matters, we are talking about money and stress. Andrew, does money ever stress you out?
On a daily basis. Probably on an hourly basis.
Oh, really. Well, yeah. See, when you were stopping it daily, I was going to go, so not very often.
Yeah.
But you get to the hourly, it's kind of a normal part of life, right?
Yeah, very much a normal part of life. Just got off the phone with my wife talking about the money stressors of the day.
Ah, yes. Yes, yes. Now, here's one of those things that, you know, depending on what survey you're looking at or listening to, that actual discussion about money, The physical discussion is actually way up there on a lot of people's lists as to what stresses them out.
But why?
I have a lot of theories behind that. Not the least of which is when we're talking about money, and you know, I realize we're a PG-rated show here, but when we're talking about money, it kind of exposes who we are.
Yeah.
Your money says a whole lot about you. The way that you look at it, the way that you spend it, the things you spend it on, those worries about it. I also think about it like this. As a guy, and I can only speak from that perspective, as a guy, speak from that perspective and at least not get in trouble for it anyway. But I think of that, you know, innate sense in myself, and I would probably go to say in most men, of provision. And when we have that money discussion and we have to say, well, we can't afford that yet, or, you know, we're not quite there yet, or, wow, that's going to cost a lot, part of me thinks, wow, am I not providing enough? You know, do I need to go do something else, something a little bit more? To help with that provision. So, you know, I think there's some of that stress that comes along with that as well.
Yeah, and, you know, kind of that determine, you know, kind of how you see yourself and how you value yourself. Because it's been so much and drilled into so many people's head that, you know, you're worth that salary or whatever that bank account says. So it's really kind of that, you know, identity portion as well, too.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely it is. And you know, especially when we're talking about living in the American culture, we've heard it for years, right? That old adage of it's difficult to try to keep up with the Joneses. Mm-hmm. It's always looking to see what does somebody else have? Do I have something as good or better? And if not, how do I go about getting it? Again, adds into that stress in our lives. There's a number of studies that have been done over the years, and every so often they just come out with another new one to, well, quite frankly, tell us things we already know.
Yeah.
But hey, somebody funded the research, so we might as well talk about some of that. And one of those topics that comes out almost every year from the American Psychological Association are a list of what some of those top stressors are in life. Okay. As a whole. Stressful events that folks deal with. Generally, towards the top of a list are things like marriage or divorce or death. So the way I always look at that, and oftentimes they even throw in the birth of a child in there as well. And I often look at that and go, okay, so it's basic math that stresses us out. It's addition, subtraction, multiplication, division.
Yeah. Well, I mean, depending on who, you know, the subtractions or who, whatever, it could be, you know, maybe decreasing the stress as well.
Very true. Very true on some levels. Depends on if you send your truck with that child that you've subtracted out of the current household into their own.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Hey, you got a lot of stress over that, but I mean, you were the one that, you know, signed your name on the bottom of that title.
That's true. My stress really comes from I don't have the back end of a pickup truck to put stuff in.
I can lease you one for the right amount of money.
I'm sure.
Help with those stressors.
And yours as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, you get that birth, death, marriage, divorce part. There are also some workplace pieces, whether that's starting the new job, or just stress in the workplace going on at the moment. We also see some of those different pieces, right, when you're moving, chronic illnesses or injuries. Retirement is also one of those big stressors in life for people.
Really?
Yes. Now, I think that comes in a couple of different reasons.
Like planning therefore, I would assume.
So some of it will be the planning, therefore. Some of it will likely be, okay, do I have enough money to not outlive my income? And some of it, I have heard these stories. They haven't happened at my house because I'm not in the retired world yet. But I have heard the stories where the spouse, usually the wife, has stayed at home for a number of years. She was raising mm-hmm. the kids, so she didn't go into the workplace. So she's been at home. The husband retires, and after a couple of weeks, the wife tells him he needs to go find something to do.
Yeah.
So there's some stress and things like that in the retirement world. I actually tell folks, you know, when I think about retirement, when I'm looking forward to things, there are three things that I absolutely love to do. Three things that I plan on doing in my retirement world, and I can do them either by myself or with people, and that's hunting, fishing, and watching baseball games.
Yeah.
I can do that by myself and be just fine, or I can also go do that with a group of people and also be just fine.
Yeah.
So trying to make that work. There's also that transition to adulthood, and actually some of the stress in these surveys that we talk about, that is one of the biggest stresses, especially on the millennial world, as well as those in the Gen Z side of things. Those folks who are kind of right now in that young adult world of 18, 19, 20, mm-hmm. moving to their, how do I do life on my own?
Yeah. You mean I have to pay all those bills type mode?
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? You know, it's that whole, wow, I didn't realize insurance cost that much sort of a thing.
Well, I think we're all realizing that now.
Well, that's true. That's very true.
I was about to say, is inflation on this list?
Well, it actually falls into that big category. And this is that category that, quite frankly, I see as the underlying thread through all of this, and money really is involved with each of these, right? Because mm-hmm. somebody passes, a marriage, a divorce, adding a kid, sending a kid off somewhere, that all costs money. We're starting the new job, so there's the income side of it, stress at work. Okay, do I keep this job, move jobs? There's an income stress there. Buying a new house, what's it going to cost? Chronic illness, injury. We talked about the retirement, the transitioning to adulthood. They all have money involved in some way, shape, or form. And yes, depending on your age group, you're either thinking about it from the what does it cost to live right now perspective. And that's actually folks from Gen X on down when that survey was done. It was currently, what are my bills? Can I afford to pay them?
Mm-hmm.
So it's looking at it at that really micro level, if you will, versus those folks who are in the boomer and even the silent generation. Their biggest concern in the money world was the economy as a whole. But again, that takes into consideration the inflation, what does it cost to live? But they're looking at more of that macro big picture mm-hmm. perspective. In fact, with the with this latest poll, about 76%, so 3 out of 4 Americans in the survey said money is a major cause of stress in their life.
And I think the subsequent side survey shows that 1 out of 4 of those participants are lying.
Yes, I would go along with that. It's kind of like that 9 out of 10 dentists surveyed. I think that other dentist either misunderstood the question or just didn't respond.
Yeah.
So, yeah, 76%. Yeah, I'm going to go with 1 out of 4 are not telling the whole truth.
Or 1 out of 4 just happen to be, the billionaires. But they're going through a lot of stress right now finding places to hold their money.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And some of the crazy stuff, we might think about it from our own little small world here. But in that great big giant picture, some of those crazy things, right? Some of the top things that have been cited as the cause of financial stress, 50% of the people surveyed said that looking at their bank account caused them stress.
Really?
And I'm going to go out on a limb here. I don't think it's because they had so much in it. I'm going to guess it's because the balance wasn't exactly where they would like it to be.
I would imagine so, but then again, there was the famous philosopher in the, early 90s that did say, more money, more problems.
That's
so
true.
There could be a small portion.
That's also true. It also reminds me of the John D. Rockefeller story that I love to tell. In his dying years, this young reporter had come to him, talked about all his philanthropy, talked about all the businesses that he had, and basically said, Mr. Rockefeller, you've made more money in your entire life than anybody could possibly spend. How much is enough? And John D. Rockefeller looked at him and said, young man, just a little bit more.
Yeah, so I guess it would go back to that term. And I know, you guys in the financial and economic, kind of education world probably use this a little bit more. It's that economy of scale that some people might have problems, whether it be, $5, $10, $15 on that extreme scale. But you get up there, you still have those same amount of problems and stressors. It's just got a lot more zeros and commas.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And even in that education side of things, this is where I'm often telling folks, I let my kids make a whole lot of money decisions in their lives, because right now I would rather them make a bad decision with $50
mm-hmm.
and understand and feel that than 15 years, 20 years down the line, making a bad decision with $50,000. So I wanted to learn that issue, that pain, if you will, with some smaller money. Folks, we are up against that first break in today's show. But yes, we are talking all about money. We're talking all about stress. But we're also not just going to stress you out today. We're going to help you take a look at some of those things that as they are coming up in life, that will help you to relieve some of that stress. And isn't that ultimately what we want, Andrew?
Yes.
So folks, stick around with us. We are going to help relieve some of that stress when we come right back.
Does stock market volatility have you wondering which way is up? Do the talking heads and doomsayers have you wondering if this really is the end? If you want straight answers from an advisor who isn't just trying to sell you something, call FRS Financial Group at 719-500-8700 to schedule your complimentary appointment today. And remember to tune into Money Matters presented by FRS Financial Group here on KRDO, Saturday mornings at 9 and Sunday at noon. Products and services offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC.
Well, folks, welcome back to Money Matters presented by FRS Financial Group. We are talking today about money, about stress. We opened up that first segment talking about some of those numbers that relate to money and stress. And Andrew, I want to come back to this. There was a survey done that actually was completed last fall. So this is fairly recent data. This is the data coming through COVID, coming through the inflation we saw in 2021 and 2022. And here's a crazy piece to this. The rising cost of consumer products, right? All that inflation has actually had a very widespread impact on mental health, right? 87% of the folks in that survey done said inflation has been a significant source of stress. And I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm sure it's a pretty solid limb, and say your analysis before on the 25% that were lying about money not being a stress, I think there are probably 13% lying about inflation not being a source of stress.
Yeah, I don't know how you could not be stressed with this current level of inflation.
Yeah, it is one of those pieces out there, and you know, we can break all this stuff down in various demographics. You know, you look male to female, women are actually likely to experience more financial stress than men. My guess, just purely from somebody who has worked with clients over the years, is because the men in the relationship aren't typically the ones who see the bill come in the mail. They're not the ones who write the check or take a look at the bank balance as it gets paid out. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, that is the spouse, the wife's role in that. Now, sometimes, yes, the male in the relationship is the one who's looking at all those things. But, you know, he might also be, you know, kind of like me, and my mindset growing up was always, well, I can always go make more money.
Yeah.
I can figure out how to make more money. If we have a money problem, I can go make more money. I can go do something else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are 24 hours in a day, and only 22 of them are filled up right now. So, hey, I got 2 hours. yeah, you're going to take a nap, though. I realize that.
I'm going to try.
And you know, here's one of those other pieces, right? About 1 in 3 say they worry about money on a daily basis.
Yeah.
To me, that's just this huge, massive weight of stress sitting on folks' shoulders.
Well, it goes back to what we, you know, said earlier and said often that, you know, it's part of it could be looked at as that security blanket and how you really identify in that, you know, lack thereof or, you know, potential vulnerability is part of, you know, kind of compounding that stress of just, you know, making sure that A to B, you know, just everything's getting filled.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. There's so many different pieces going through there. And you know, Dave Ramsey talks about it often. How many folks in the country today basically living paycheck to paycheck, right? Again, it's the numbers almost line up. It's in that high 70% that are living paycheck to paycheck, not knowing, can I meet my bills? And we'll talk about this here in a little bit as well about, you know, how you handle the emergency things that come up. And frankly, I've had discussion with folks before, but always bears repeating, and I'm pretty sure that I've heard Dave say it more than once, there are certain things that aren't emergencies that we try to put into that category, but really not. But we'll get to those here in a little bit. Some of the things I want to take a look at, though, here are the reasons behind that worry.
Okay.
Right? Why do we worry about money? And really, there are five basic reasons or situations, I guess I would say, that cause us to worry when it comes to money. Number one is that we don't trust ourselves to make the best decisions. We worry, right? If I'm going to say, you know what, here's, you know, we had Sly Hagen on recently talking about that used car world. If I'm going to go get a new vehicle for my family, new to us, not new with 0 miles, but new to us, I want to make the best decision possible. And how do I make the best decision? Well, in my world, and we've done this for years, and we may be a little bit nerdy or geeky about it, but we actually build a matrix, and we assign point values to what we find important, and we try to let the numbers decide what makes good sense. And yes, we look at mileage, and we look at the age, and we look at, you know, all these different pieces to the vehicle, and we let the score come out to go, okay, it's one of these three, now let's go drive those three. Mm-hmm. We try to take the emotion out of the decision. But part of that is because we may not trust ourselves to make that solid emotional choice because somebody likes a truck, but we didn't get a truck to replace the truck that went to Montana.
And somebody's still hung up on that truck. You know, that truck's like a bad ex-girlfriend at this point.
I think so. I would say we have to make a clean break, but I'm going to go visit it here in about 10 days. And my son as well, but we're going to go visit. So there's that, right, that lack of trust in ourselves to make the best decisions. We worry about, was that the right choice? Was that the best choice? Is there a better choice down the road? There's also oftentimes a disconnect between what we say our values are and what our spending habits happen to be. And it's hard to reconcile that, and that's going to cause stress and worry in what we do. I also run into this. Oftentimes people are worried about money because they're actually avoiding something they know is a long-term important item, but, well, we'll get to that later. We'll do that later. We'll start thinking about that later, and then all of a sudden later shows up.
Yeah.
So there have been plenty of folks that you know, trying to push it off because it might be too painful to make those changes.
Or you want to, you know, give somebody else, you know, that ultimate say and take it out of your hand. So we're going to do this when we have the money, but yet when you really come to that bridge, you've got to make the decision. You can't just outsource it.
Exactly. And there's also oftentimes an expectation that we have for ourselves that can kind of feel impossible. We set that goal way too high. Mm-hmm. And don't think about it as to whether or not it's going to be a realistic goal that we can achieve. I want to be retired by the time I'm 40. Well, what are you doing to take care of that? Nothing.
And why are you talking about it at 39?
Right. So we set some of those unrealistic expectations on ourselves, and that'll cause some of that stress. And that fifth reason that I find a lot of folks have stress whenever they're thinking about money is that they don't have the safety net in place.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as parents, especially when we're sending our kids out into the world, I know there are a lot of what we will call the boomerang kids that were out, they come back. We, as the parent, are oftentimes some type of a safety net. But once those kids are established, and I even think about it from my own perspective in our life, once we're out there and established, if we don't have our own safety net, there can be some worry involved with that.
I mean, if you're too busy being somebody else's safety net, where's yours? It's like going on an airplane, and they always say that you have to, you know, put your mask on in case of emergency before you help someone else. But I think we get into this thing, and especially when it comes to money, helping people out, that it's oftentimes we always look at trying to be there and be that support for everyone else, but not ourselves.
Exactly. And, you know, it's one of those old adages, but the whole thing of you can't pour from an empty cup, right? Mm-hmm. You can't pour things out of an empty vessel. So until you have filled yours, you can't truly be able to go out and pour into others there. When we're looking at that safety net, one of those pieces of the survey that has come up, and this was actually a survey done through Bankrate, almost 50% of Americans surveyed last year said they couldn't handle a $400 emergency.
Wow.
Not $4,000, not $40,000, but $400. So that tells me two things. One, as a culture, we don't have money in the bank, right? And we saw with those failures that happened just in the recent history, businesses have a lot of money in the bank, but us as individuals don't typically have a lot of money in the bank. And it also tells me that if we don't have money in the bank and there's an emergency that comes up, we're probably putting this on a credit card.
Yeah.
As a culture, the average American has four credit cards, somewhere between one and two bank cards. So that's Visa and MasterCard and American Express and Discover. Those are the bank cards. And two to three store-branded cards. Okay. So whether that's a Kohl's or a Lowe's or something along those lines, we have on average four cards. And the average credit card holder, this is the part that I think I found a little bit shocking, the average credit card holder doesn't know what the interest rate is on their card.
Well, and especially now since that's been the, you know, kind of hobby of Jerome Powell is ratcheting that up.
Yes. And the average card holder doesn't know what it is, and almost half of them carry a balance one month to the next. Now, would you have a mortgage, Andrew, and not know what your interest rate was on the mortgage?
No.
I would hope not. I would try not myself to do that.
I mean, do I remember it if I'm asked, like, randomly stop, you know, hey, in the middle of a hallway? I'd probably take a little bit of time to remember or have to pull up an app, but I genuinely know where it is. Yeah.
And you could probably get pretty close, right? You could probably go, okay, we bought the house X years ago. It's probably in that, you know, this is probably the range. Or we refinanced back in 2019 when everything went way down, so we got something below three.
Yeah.
You would be able to figure that out. The average interest rate being charged on a credit card is 19%.
Whew.
And that's a lot. That's pretty high interest rate. And I'm going to do some math here, but I'm trying to make it easy math.
Okay.
Because I've already done it. The average balance on cards in this country is just over $5,300 per card.
Okay.
So $5,300 a card. If you have four cards on average, that means you're carrying about $21,000 in credit card debt. So you've got $21,000 carrying over month to month in credit card debt. You don't have $400 saved for an emergency. And if you don't put another dollar on that card with a 19% annual interest rate, you pay $340 a month in interest by itself.
Whew.
No wonder we don't know how to find the next dollar.
Yeah.
It's crazy in there. And, you know, as we're getting into this this next break in the show, we're going to come back. We're going to talk about some of these pieces as to kind of what is an emergency, what isn't an emergency. But I hope in the next couple segments, we're actually going to be able to help relieve some of that stress that folks are going to feel, because it actually stresses me out thinking if I didn't have $400 in the bank for an emergency, but I had to pay $350 every month for interest on my charge card, that stresses me out.
Yeah.
And it's not my interest. It's not my card we're dealing with here. So, folks, we are up against that next break in the show. When we come back, we're going to talk about emergencies. We're going to talk about what they are. We're going to talk about what they're not.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about the dreaded B word, Andrew. We're going to talk about budgets.
Okay.
So, folks, we are going to hopefully begin to alleviate some of that stress. Stick around. We will be right back.
Money affects each of us in different ways. Sometimes it's a source of stress and fear. Sometimes it's a source of comfort and security. Whatever your perspective, it's always good to get a second set of eyes on your finances to help serve as a guide. If you are looking for that guidance, call FRS Financial Group at 719-500-8700 to schedule your complimentary appointment. And remember to tune into Money Matters presented by FRS Financial Group here on KRDO. Saturday mornings at 9 and Sunday at noon. Products and services offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA SIPC.
Folks, thanks for sticking around with us through that break. Rick Stevens here in studio with Andrew Rogers. This is Money Matters presented by FRS Financial Group. We have probably stressed you out in the first couple of segments.
Stressed me out.
we're talking, folks, about money and stress, but my goal now, after having stressed you out for two segments, is that you haven't left yet, and we're going to start to de-stress a little bit on that. One of those things that we finished up with in that last segment, we were talking about, you know, folks who don't have more than $400 available for an emergency. And yes, emergencies happen. Things just happen at different times. I oftentimes tell folks, you know, when they're walking through the Dave Ramsey baby steps, right? And that step one is that $1,000 emergency fund that Dave talks about. Oftentimes I tell folks that's a good number if you're a renter. But Andrew, as a homeowner, I know that you know some of this potential pain in there. If you were to wake up one cool winter brisk morning, and it was also cool and brisk in the house because the furnace quit working, is it going to cost $1,000 to have that repaired / replaced, or is it probably going to be more?
Probably more.
Yeah, that's the way I always looked at it, too. These days, we're probably, I always tell folks, you know, rule of thumb, figure it's probably closer to $4,000 or $5,000 to have that taken care of. Same thing with a water heater, right? You go on vacation, you come back, you try to do that first load of laundry or take that first shower, and you're going, this isn't heating up. What happened?
Yeah.
And that water heater died on you. And it's not going to be $1,000 to replace that water heater, even if you're trying to do it by yourself, right? It's going to be in that $2,500, maybe $3,000, maybe even $4,000 range. So for folks that I'm talking to, I say, you know, if you're a renter, $1,000 in the emergency fund is good because you're not going to have a whole lot of, I've got to take care of this at home. You're probably going to have something automobile related, and $1,000 can take care of most emergencies in the car world, unless you've actually blown up a motor itself, in which case it's probably just going to be cheaper to get a car. But as a homeowner, we're probably looking more in that $3,000-$5,000 range of what we need to have set aside. And as that homeowner, there are certain things that are going to be emergencies, right? The furnace goes out, the water heater quits. We had our washing machine probably 6 or 8 months ago stopped working. And when there are six of you in the house, a washing machine is a good thing to have available.
Yeah.
So we needed to go out and buy a new washing machine. You're going to have stuff. I mean, we're in the middle of hail season right now. You could end up with a hail deductible. Something goes on with the roof. You've got to foot a certain dollar figure or a certain percentage, probably going to be in that $3,000-$5,000 range. So that's an emergency. But, Andrew, there are certain things that aren't emergencies.
Yeah. Well, and it kind of goes to, you know, looking at the kind of list and, you know, that mindset as well. And I liken it to what I do every day on the day job as far as news, that there's this tendency to brand everything breaking news. But if everything's breaking, nothing is
breaking.
And it's the same thing with this. If everything all of a sudden becomes an emergency and you treat it the same way, then nothing is really an emergency. And you get rid of that urgency and that, you know, kind of emotional tie.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, I talk to folks all the time, and I know Dave talks to folks all the time because I hear it on his show. Certain things are not emergencies if they happen on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
Things like birthdays are not emergencies. And Christmas, believe it or not, comes once a year, always at pretty much the same time.
Yeah, on or around December 25th for a year.
Yeah, who knew? Andrew, I've also got to tell folks this, and maybe I'm talking more to the husbands out there, but anniversaries come up every year.
Mm-hmm.
They shouldn't be a surprise. There should be some forethought that goes into it. It's not like there's an emergency anniversary gift I have to buy.
Yeah.
Also, when we're thinking about things like our vehicles, while certain things could happen, right? We get into an accident, there's a slick road, and we slide off. I actually have one of my vehicles in my fleet at the shop right now because it just wouldn't start. And come to find out, it wasn't a starter problem, it was an alternator problem. It was a battery cable problem. The battery cable, some of the wiring had come loose, had corroded. There were some issues in there. That's not exactly something you're planning for, but tires and brakes and oil changes are some normal maintenance that should happen with a vehicle. So those aren't exactly emergencies. And I can't tell you how many people I've talked to who forgot it was time to pay the insurance bill, whether that was their life insurance or, you know, they pay the health insurance, or even folks who maybe don't have a mortgage anymore, so they're not making that part of the monthly payment into escrow for the homeowner's insurance, but all of a sudden the bill showed up on April 17th like it does every year, but we forgot that's when we were up for renewal. Those aren't emergencies. Those are not what we need to be dipping into our emergency funds for. Those are those things that we need to, if we're doing our proper budgeting, we've set aside money each month, even though we may only pay these things once a year. We've accounted for it on a monthly basis in that actual written budget, and written is the key, not just I've got it up in my head, I've thought about this, it's on my massive computer between my ears. It's not there. It's actually written down somewhere, whether that, I don't care if it's on just a simple spreadsheet in Excel or if it's some fancy, you know, program you got going. It's there. It's visual. I can see it, see it. But we've got to have it written down. We've got to account for it every month. You know, the same thing holds true, whether that's our license plate renewal for a vehicle, that sort of thing. I actually account for my fishing license every year. You know, whatever the cost, I don't even remember what the cost is, $20 or $30 or something like that. But I have that, you know, $2 to $3 budgeted out, even though mine, I basically am up for renewal in March only because I needed it for a camping trip in March like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
So I know that in March I've got to go get my new fishing license. So we've got to put those things out there. We've got to get that started. We've got to have that drive to make things happen. There are all kinds of ways to do that. Typically, what I will actually tell folks to do is say, here's the easiest way to get started with a budget is you go to the Google machine and you type in three words. You type in Dave Budget Forms. And usually the first thing that shows up as your result is from the Dave Ramsey website, and it's a page called Dave's Useful Forms. And there are about 25 different forms on there, but there are a number of them that you can use for budgeting.
Yeah.
He calls it the monthly cash flow plan. He also has one called the monthly budget. There's a quick start budget. And for folks who may have an uneven income, right? You're all commission-based. You've got some high months, some low months. Maybe you get paid twice a month and you've got a higher paycheck at one point and a lower one at another. He's got a plan to help you figure that out on paper. So it's always good to do that. The biggest rule of thumb, though, in that budget world, and it always sounds easy, but it's not the easiest thing to implement because it means we've got to change a mindset, and that's we've got to live on less than we earn.
Yeah.
And that's one of those pieces where if we start to think with that mindset, all of a sudden things that we thought we needed, we may not actually need. We only want need.
Yeah, it goes back to that, you know, whole what is or what isn't an actual emergency and what's the plan.
Exactly. And then we also look at, right, those three things. Three things we can do with any dollar. We can give it. We can save it, we can spend it, and if we're doing this with that budget in mind, we've got that written plan, we're being very intentional about these things, it starts to make that an easier plan to set in motion. Now, one of the other pieces then is taking out that debt. Because that debt, whether it's the credit card debt, I mean, I know folks in their 40s and 50s still paying off student loan debt from 30 plus years ago. We've got to tackle that consumer debt first. We've got multiple ways to do it, right? You can always go, okay, what's my highest interest rate? Let me pay that one off first, because that means I'm actually paying less in interest in the long run. Yes, that's the best mathematical way to do it. But it's typically not the best psychological way to do it, because the psychology works when we have small victories along the way. That's why Dave's Debt Snowball works so well.
Yeah.
Right? Lining those up, smallest to largest, everything I can to get that smallest one paid off while still paying down at least the minimums on those larger ones, so that I can tackle that first one first, tackle the next one next, and focus all the way through. And the reason being, when I have those small victories along the way, it matters, right? If I want to lose 75 pounds, I can't just go, all right, I'm stepping on the scale in 8 months to see how close I am. I probably want to check that along the way and get, you know what? This week, I'm dropping 2 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
This month, I'm dropping 5. And taking a look along those lines, setting ourselves up for those small victories, which ultimately leads us to that big victory in the end.
Yeah, you got to be able to, it's like eating an elephant. You got to just do it one chunk,
one bite
at a time.
Yep, absolutely. So we want to tackle that debt. We also want to stop using credit to buy things and stop digging that hole deeper that we're trying to dig out of.
Mm-hmm.
Hard to do. One of my favorite all-time Saturday Night Live sketches. Right, this is several years old. Steve Martin was on the show, but it was a little sketch about a pamphlet being sold, and it was called the way to actually enrich yourself. Don't buy stuff you can't afford.
Yeah,
it's a very small book. It's only one page long.
Mm-hmm.
Don't buy stuff you can't afford.
Yeah,
right. And we've got to start thinking with that sort of mindset. That's going to help us ultimately to sort of keep that emotion, keep that worry in our lives gone, right? We're not using credit to buy things. We're tackling the debt we're in. We've got that plan put together so that we can actually go, okay, I plan on spending X dollars on groceries. I plan on spending X dollars on my utilities. I plan on being able to give Y dollars. All of these different pieces in here in that plan, and we're going to talk about kind of putting that plan together in the final segment today. But ultimately, it's about what some of those habits we've got to change, right? Things that we need to start doing or stop doing. Once we've stopped using credit, once we've knocked it all out, that's when we start to get that big emergency savings out there. Because when you've got that next 3 to 6 months of your living expenses set aside, you can start to breathe a little bit easier. You can actually start to go, you know what? If they shut my business down for 6 months, I still have some income available. Sitting over here on the sidelines at the moment.
Well, it's all living on that plan. You know, like Dave says, all of this is like, you know, you're going on a road trip. You're not going to do it without putting something in a GPS or, back in the day, pulling out a map and looking at what road to go to. You've got to get on that plan to make it work.
Exactly. And that's ultimately what that plan is. It is that financial roadmap as we're moving forward. Well, folks, we are up against that final break in today's show. When we come back, we're talking about your financial roadmap and how we're going to use that to keep the emotion and the worry out of life. So stick around. We will be right back.
Are you worried about what's been going on in the markets and how it has affected your portfolio? Maybe you need a financial checkup. If you have questions about the health of your financial future, call FRS Financial Group at 719-500-8700 to schedule your complimentary checkup. And remember to tune into Money Matters presented by FRS Financial Group here on KRDO, Saturday mornings at 9 and Sunday at noon. Products and services offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC.
Folks, welcome back into Money Matters. Rick Stevens here in studio with Andrew Rogers. We spent a couple segments today kind of freaking you out a little bit, talking about that worry and the stress of money. We started last segment, Andrew, to really kind of reel that back in.
Yeah.
How do we relieve some of that stress? I got to say, though, a visit to a good massage therapist also helps to relieve some stress.
Okay.
As long as you're not paying like a mid three figures for that massage, because there's always a financial component to that that could be stressful.
Mm-hmm.
But finding a way to relieve some of that. But ultimately what it does is it comes down to that plan. And you were talking earlier about it's kind of like taking that road trip. Right?
Yeah,
it's having that map.
Yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of us get caught up on, you know, autopilot, and we use kind of that same road analogy. And I'll ask you, do you make a conscious decision, like when you're leaving the house, going to work, as far as, oh, I have to turn on X street, you know, or are you just kind of on autopilot and end up at work not really realizing you did it?
I'm going to give you the Evan answer. It depends.
All right.
And part of that depends on what do I have to do before I get into the office, right? Because if I know I'm just leaving the house, going to the office, I'm pulling out of my driveway, I know already know what direction my vehicle needs to face to be, believe it or not, the most efficient, saving 10 seconds here and 5 seconds there to get into my office. And yes, there are times where I'm like, you know, I don't remember driving down I-25 today, but obviously I did because I made it to the office.
Yeah, well, I forgot that there are some of those people that could do things before heading into the office.
Well, you know what? Every once in a while, you got to run an errand here or there. Probably not necessarily at 2:30 in the morning because not a lot of errands to be run there. But maybe before you head home at the end of your day, making that, you know, quick stop here. Got to go pick up, you know, some potatoes or some milk over there.
Yeah. And, you know, it kind of goes back to that whole thing that we ended the last segment with as far as getting back on, you know, the financial talk, that you got to have that end goal in mind, whether it be, you know, building that emergency fund, getting rid of the consumer debt, whatever that end goal is, you've got to have that plan and that roadmap to get there. And you can't just be on autopilot thinking, oh, you know, I want to get there. I don't exactly know how I'm going to get there, but it'll figure it out.
Yeah, you know, the and this is what I find with a lot of folks in that retirement world these days. There's oftentimes that mindset that, you know, whether it's the parents of folks like, you know, me in that Gen X world, even some of the older millennial world, but certainly oftentimes in that young boomer world, our parents typically had a pension waiting for them when they retired. We don't have that luxury. We actually need to think about those sorts of things in life. And when you have a plan, the first thing that it does is it takes time. And it takes time for you to think about your goals.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to think about those, both the short-term and the long-term side of that. So I've got to think about things, you know, for example, we're actually taking a road trip next week.
Yeah.
We're going to South Dakota because we're going to go see the Rock Presidents.
Okay.
And then we're driving across Montana to go visit my truck.
Well, Grant and his truck.
Grant and my truck. And then we're coming back down through Wyoming. And we could think, okay, the long term is we're going to take a 10-day trip and we're going to end up back at home. But we've got those little spots, our goals laid out along the way. We're going to leave at X time on this day, so that by Y time, we can be stopped at this place having some lunch. We'll show up at this time at Mount Rushmore. We'll be able to get to the hotel by Z time. So there are those little pieces along the way, not just that big long-term, okay, from now until 7 days from now, this is the start and end point.
Yeah.
But there's those little pieces along the way, those short-term goals. And you know, sometimes I get a little crazy, and I set those goals going, okay, how many miles can I get out of this tank of gas?
Yeah.
Very short-term goals. Very short-term. I hate seeing the gas light come on unless I'm on a road trip.
Yeah.
And then it's, okay, it says 55 to empty. It says next exit 45 miles. I wonder if there's an exit beyond that.
And what direction is the wind going?
Right. Am I going downhill? Am I moving away from the mountains or toward the mountains? Can I really make this happen? But there are those short-term goals, right? And those long-term goals. We also have to think about, in terms of those goals, what things do we have that are wants versus what things do we have that are needs? And you know, when I was teaching this, I used to teach this all the time. I said, food is a need, right? That is a survival need. The way with which we meet that need is oftentimes the want, because I can meet that food need if I'm a college student and I'm enjoying my hot dogs and ramen, or I can meet that food need if I've decided I'm going for a little surf and turf.
Yeah.
Two ways to meet the same need, right? I need to eat, but the level at which we meet that need determines the level of want inside of it.
Yeah.
And some wants cost more than others.
And it kind of becomes almost, you know, countercultural to have, you know, again, going back to that Dave analogy, that delayed gratification, that, you know, living like someone else, that, you know, I'm going to skip out on going out to lunch. I'm going to just go home, have my rice, have my beans, have my ramen, hot dogs, whatever it be, maybe, so that I can do something else later.
Exactly. Exactly. And again, that's taking both the short-term and the long-term goals to say, I'm going to give up X today so that I can get that Y tomorrow. Because, and this again is all about the mindset, because I think that tomorrow's Y is going to be better than today's X. And that's ultimately what it gets to. The next part of that plan, right? We've started thinking about those goals, those short-term, long-term needs and wants. Next part is we got to know our numbers.
Yeah.
And not everybody's a number person. I get it. Not everybody is one of those stat head geeks. And as a stat head geek, I understand that not everybody has that warped sense of numbers. But knowing your numbers doesn't mean you've got to know all the details. It does mean, though, you need to know your basic inflow, how much is coming in, and your outflow, how much is going out.
Yeah.
And, you know, more than just that ballpark, well, I think I make about $3,000 a month. And I think we probably spend maybe $2,900. Well, if you're thinking you got three coming in and 29 going out, that's a $100 difference. You need to make sure what that number
is. Yeah, that's a pretty tight margin.
That's a pretty tight margin. But if you're going, well, you know what? We've actually got about five coming in and about three going out. Okay, you can have some fudge room in there. You can have that cushion built in, but you still might want to hone that in a little bit, because oftentimes I tell folks, you would be surprised at how much money you probably spend you don't even realize.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, kind of going back to that autopilot thing earlier, I've talked to a couple of different companies and done some education there, and I've said, how many of you? I'm not going to truly ask for a show of hands. You can raise them internally. But how many of you on the way back into the office or on the way home from work stop off at Come and Go or the Circle K or the 7-Eleven and you grab a drink and you grab a bag of chips and you don't think about whether or not you just spent $5?
Yeah.
And I can always see the faces of the ones that went, oh, yeah. Like, if you do that every day, guys, that's $25 a week. And if you work in a regular month, that's $100 a month that you just didn't realize you spent. And all of a sudden, I see them going, oh. So really, it's knowing what's coming in, what's going out. That's that next part of the plan. Because if I don't know what's coming in and what's going out, I'm not going to know how I'm going to fund those short and long-term goals that I just set.
Yeah.
So I've got to have that in place. I've got to figure out how to do it. But that's not where it all ends.
Yeah.
I can't just have a goal and know my number. Now I've got to work the plan. Working the plan is the hardest part, because that's what takes discipline. It's what takes consistency. And oftentimes we forget what I will tell folks is the most important part of working that plan. We forget the positive reinforcement.
Yeah.
We forget that, you know, it's okay to have fun, and it's okay to, quote unquote, splurge a little bit, as long as you accounted for your splurge in your budget.
Okay.
That's one of those things, and I will remember this for years. Phone call into Dave's show. This has probably been 7 or 8, maybe even 10 years ago at this point. where a lady had called in and said, Dave, I've got a problem, because that's what everybody says. And he's asking about it, and she says, you know how you tell people to live like no one else so later they can live like no one else? And yeah. And, well, we've done that. We've followed that plan for the last 15, 20 years. We're retired now, and we've got this big pile of money. And Dave asks the question that everybody who's listening is thinking, what's the problem? And her response is, I can't make myself spend it. He said, ah, you've got a budget still, don't you? Yeah. You follow your budget. Yeah. Then make it a line item in the budget.
Yeah.
As long as it's a line item in the budget and you're disciplined, you can actually positively reinforce yourself of, hey, when I get to level X, I can do Y.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Something little, something small. You know, it could be like, hey, we're going to go to a Rocky Mountain Vibes game, or I'm going to go watch this movie. You know, it doesn't have to be this thousands of dollars spent. It could be, you know, $50.
Yeah.
But you're going to go out and have some fun. You're going to celebrate those small successes. The only way to be able to do that, though, is we've got to check in on that plan.
And what happens if you get off course?
Well, that's where we make the course correction. I know this has never happened to you. I'm sure it's never happened to anybody listening who lives on the Front Range.
Mm-hmm.
But every once in a while, there might be some construction on I-25. You may or may not need to take a detour at some point. But you've got to see, okay, this is what's going on. And you know what? Instead of going up through the gap because they're doing another construction project, I'm actually going to go the back way and take 83 up to Castle Rock and back over, right? We may have to make a little course adjustment at times, or, you know, God forbid we're headed into the mountains and it snows on I-70. We've got to make some course corrections to go, all right, so I'm really not going to get there at noon or at 1 or at 2 or 3 or 4. So I've got to make some adjustments along the way. So we want to know, what are those mile markers, right? What are those little goals along the way that we're looking for? What are our benchmarks there? And then we've got to do a little bit of analysis. Mm. We've got to sit down and say, did I meet this when I wanted to? Am I on time? Am I ahead? Am I behind? If I'm ahead, do I need to readjust maybe my plan as a whole? Maybe this is going better than I initially thought it would. Am I a little behind? Maybe I need to adjust that from being a one-year goal to an 18-month goal because we're a little behind. Or did I just make the wrong goal to begin with and we've got to scrap it and build a new one?
Yeah, is that goal unattainable?
Exactly. You know, hey, I want to retire at 55. Well, when did you start thinking about it? At 53. Probably an unattainable goal at this point, unless, you know, you've created something that you've sold a patent for multi-billions of dollars. But we got to think about those sorts of things. And that's ultimately then coming back to evaluate and asking that question. Is it the right plan? Is it the right goal? Are there things I need to change along the way?
And luckily, there's coaches there to help you if you can't just do it all on your own.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's one of those things that we love to do. That we love to help folks out with, to sit down, to make that plan, to work it along the way. Folks, that is where we are at the end of today in this edition of Money Matters. If you've got those questions about those plans, feel free to give us a call at 719-500-8700. We will be back again next week continuing to talk about your money, because your money matters. Thanks for tuning in, everybody.